As I said, hi family, my name's Chris and I am an addict. I actually got clean in Montgomery area, which is just a little bit north in Maryland. And then my travels, I went up north to the Susquehanna area, which is Harford County, Maryland. Then I moved to California to the Peninsula area and got clean there. And in fact, I just saw a couple friends from there. This fellowship is worldwide. Then I moved to the United Kingdom and got involved in service there. And I'm not gonna lie, I dope fiended a couple of UK addicts to come to the World Convention. And you know, it was really cool to see them after 3.5 years. Then I moved to San Antonio to the Esperanza area. Yes, my home group is the New Way group. We meet Monday through Thursday from 6:30 to 7:30. And I am active involved in service and I go to meetings. And I don't know what I would do without you all, because my addict still plays with me. And if I don't go to meetings, as I say, I get a little squirrely. And when I found out that the World Convention was going to be in DC, which is my old stomping grounds where I got clean, I had to go. Talked my wife into it, because you know she don't like to spend money. But we came, and I am so glad we did. At this time, I would like to introduce Cecilia from... And she is from Dallas, Texas.
Good evening, family. My name is Cecilia P. and I'm a grateful recovering addict. It's a good day to be clean. Am I the only one excited? It's a good day to be clean. Yeah. Narcotics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women for whom drugs have become a major problem. Right? We're recovering addicts who meet regularly to help each other stay clean. I am a miracle. And every addict that is sitting here tonight is a miracle. And if we did not have spiritual cataracts, we would be able to see the angels in the heavens rejoicing because we're clean and we're no longer terrorizing society, right? So, you know, I want to thank the World Convention for asking me to share. When I was asked to share, I told that I was asked to be a late night speaker, and I asked Mike very clearly, I said, how late? Because I go to bed early. And he told me 9 o'clock. Need my water. Yeah.
That wasn't me.
Yeah. He told me 9 o'clock. I said, okay, I think I might be able to stay up that late. And then someone texted me, one of my GHOD family members. Woo! That's my sponsorship family. And they said, I'm really excited about you sharing. I'll be there. I'll see you at 11. I was like, 11? Because I hadn't paid attention to anything. I'm fortunate enough that I have an administrative assistant, and she was the one doing everything. And I found out I was sharing at 11, and I'm like, holy shit. I don't know if I'd be able to stay awake. So, and then Attic Girl said, there's gonna be about 15 people at 11 o'clock at night, those motherfuckers. Right. But the beautiful thing about sharing, and I'm going to thank the committee. These guys are first class, I tell you. Everything they did. This service is first class. I couldn't imagine having to put this on as a group of addicts. Because, you know, two addicts can't agree on very much. Right? And to put on something of this magnitude, it takes a lot of work, so I want you all to please give a hand to the Wackner Committee. We're grateful. We're grateful. We're grateful for the effort, for the blood, sweat, and tears that was put into this. Right? I have to thank my higher power, whom I choose to call God, and that God is just used for convenience because I have a very esoteric belief system. I want to thank my sponsor, Tyrone M. out of Chicago, Illinois, because sponsorship is the heartbeat of the program. And Tyrone picked me up at 12 years clean with a brand new home, two new cars in the garage, an accounting practice, a kid in preparatory school making six figures. That's at 12 years clean, and I'm 28 years clean today, right? So he sponsored me for 16 years, but when he picked me up, I was a dead man walking, 12 years clean, with all the trimmings of recovery, two new cars, and I had a hole inside of me, that thing we call a spiritual void, that was bigger than the state of Texas. I weighed 383 pounds. And Tyrone asked me, he said, what gave you permission to disfigure yourself? And I was like, this skinny motherfucker. So I want to thank my sponsor because my sponsor has poured into me for 16 years. And today, man, I live an extraordinary life. I live an extraordinary life. And the literature promises us that, in that it works how and why. It says this, the 12 steps, individually and collectively, gives us the ability to live an extraordinary life. So if you want to live an extraordinary life, all you have to do is work the steps, and your life will become extraordinary, right? So my sponsor, My sponsees are my best teachers. They, half of them don't do shit, right? The other half, they do their stuff, but I've had to, you know, we've had some ups and downs and turnarounds, but my sponsees are my greatest teachers. You know, I have to thank Central Group and Narcotics Anonymous. Right, I got 20, they gave me 20 good years, and then I kissed them goodbye because it was principles over personalities no longer was existing. I spent some time at Northside Group, and then the elections happened, and I had to go to another home group. And today, it's just my truth. And today I'm a proud member of the Recovery at Work group in Dallas, Texas. Yeah. And that's where the literature comes alive. The literature must come alive if the program is working. If you're just regurgitating the literature, you're like a parrot. You're not really, you know, it's only through understanding and application does it work, right? So when you say I've written the steps and I've processed the steps and I've worked the steps with my sponsor, then I have to ask the question, how are you living? What does your feet look like? So I know that the people who are in this audience, 99% of the chance is that you're clean. Ain't nobody out here high, 99%. There might be that one or two that's still high and claiming clean time. Because, you know, we got them in the fellowship and we love them, right? But that's who we are. You know, we have a lot of masks, right? But we're talking about love, right? So Narcotics Anonymous is a program that heals the sick and raises the dead. So I want somebody to block the door before the heathens run out and think I'm finna talk about church. What I'm talking about is the program. It says after coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. That's after coming. So if I realize that after coming, that means that when I got here, I was really sick. And chances are, you can keep coming back, you can make meetings, you can do all the shenanigans of the program, but if you're not living the program, then you're still sick, right? And even if you are, because see, there's, you know, drugs was a major problem, but once we got here and we stuck around for a minute, we found out that it was addiction. Our addiction is our problem. So what does that look like? How did your disease manifest itself today? And if you can't think about how your disease manifested itself today, then you don't know where your disease lies. Because it manifests itself every day. This disease is cunning, it's baffling, and powerful. And the literature says, even during abstinence, our disease continues to progress. It didn't say it stays, it says it progresses even during abstinence. So that means that my disease is more powerful now than it was when I came in 28 years ago. Because by the grace of God, I've been clean since March the 5th of 1996. Yeah. And let me tell you guys that speaking at the World Convention, it wasn't even on my bucket list. I never even thought about it. I mean, I've been asked to share in different places, and that's part of my service. But, you know, to speak at the world level, well, you know, I felt like I won the NO lottery, the NA lottery. I was like, they're going to pay for your, you know, when you speak places, they pay for your travel and your hotel, you know, and it still costs you. Right? Because, like, if you got to park your car at the airport, you can come back. Like, for me, I'm old, so I valet. I can come back to a $150 valet ticket. And most importantly, it costs you your time. And time being the most valuable asset that we have, it has to be spent carefully. You know, and when you're asked to share a lot in the fellowship, You can run into trouble doing that because you can easily become addicted to the podium. The podium is an addiction for some addicts. I've seen addicts with good clean time, addicts who can regurgitate the literature, they could tell you the page, the chapter, word for word, and I've seen those addicts relapse and die in the horrors of addiction. So just regurgitating the literature, it's not enough. You got to live this thing, right? So it says, we're talking about the power of love. It says, the spirit of love that we express in NA is the most powerful thing we have. It didn't say, you know, it says that meeting is a powerful vehicle. It says the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallel. It says that sponsorship is the heartbeat of the program. But it says that love is the most powerful thing we have. The love that we have for each other is the most powerful thing. So what does that tell me? That tells me that I need, as an addict, as a recovering addict, I need to take my inventory and see where I am not engaged in the most powerful thing that the recovery has to offer. Because I don't know for you, but when I got high, I wanted the biggest piece of dope. So that's why sponsorship is important to me. Because they said, for you to get the most out of the program, for the most, right? And then if it tells me that love is the most powerful thing we have, and if I don't have love for my fellow addict, then I'm missing out. I'm not hurting them. I'm shortchanging myself, right? And I'm thinking about this, you know, I'm 66, so if I tell you guys shit about, well, when I was a little girl and I was raped and the Catholic priest took me in the rectory, if I take the time to tell you guys all the shit that drove me to addiction, we'll be here until Christmas. Because I'm 66. So we will go, I'll tell you guys that during COVID, I found out that my firstborn was the product of rape. Now, how do you have a child, and you have a child that is, my son is, my youngest is 28, my oldest is 50. And I did not find out until COVID, because what God did during COVID was he said, everybody on timeout. All you motherfuckers go home. Everybody. I don't care if you live in Spain, if you live in France, if you live in it, go home and stay there. Stay with them badass kids. Stay with that husband you say you love. Stay with that dog that they're gonna tear up your goddamn house. Stay home and get with yourself. And I got with myself during COVID and came to realize, but see, that's not unusual if you know the program, if you know the steps, because I don't know how many people know, the program is in our literature, but recovery is in our experience, strength, and hope. That's what recovery is. The literature is our guide to tell us how to live, right? So it just came out of the blue. It's like, man, you were raped. And every time you had to buy milk for this baby, this grown man took the 60, I was 15 the first time. And I didn't have a boyfriend or none of that. It was a grown man my mother left us with, and she came to the U.S. illegally. So she was hiding from the immigration. So she's one of them people they build that wall to keep out. I thank God that at the time Carter was in the house. Because they don't let black people in America. They don't. You got to have a lot of money to come here. Because they think you come in to look for food stamps and a WIC and welfare and black jobs. Yeah, black jobs, yeah. But it says, and then the literature says, when we are practicing step 12 to the best of our ability, love becomes central to all that we do. There is no more powerful antidote to the despair and self-destruction of addiction. It didn't say of using drugs. It says of addiction. So that means that even clean, we are subject to really self-destructive behavior. So I ask you, like for me, what I found out, you know, I'm 66, right? So I wanted to move, I didn't want to move. I'm like, you're 66, you're getting ready to retire. You don't need another mortgage, you're too old to buy. You know, have you ever told yourself you're too old to do something? Yeah, I'm too old to buy a new house. And somewhere out of the blue, I ran into an addict who's a good realtor, and he said, come look, like come see. Because you know, addicts, they can like sell you dope, they can sell you houses too. And before I know it, I was closed. I had a new home. And the one I had, I still had. And I had another one. And I'm like, damn, how'd that happen? I had a good addict that helped me out. Right? So let me tell you, man, 12:30, February the 29th, I'm laying in my bed, fast asleep, and a random bullet came in my bedroom, hit my pillow next to my head, and my face felt like it was a watermelon that you smashed to the ground. A random bullet. The crime scene unit came the next day and dug a 9mm full metal jacket bullet out of my pillow. Man, it fell next to my head. So that mean that I would have not even known what happened. I just went to bed and I would not have woke up. I have a little 18-pound Shih Tzu. That's a Shih Tzu and a poodle. And you know, she's a mutt. She's a cute mutt. And she, when that happened, she jumped out of the bed and ran out of the room and was looking around the corner. She had better sense than me because I'm up and I'm trying to figure out what happened. She just looking at me around the corner like, bitch, come out of that room. So, you know, I went to the doctors and found out that the crystals in my ears from the impact, I now have vertigo real bad. You know, I don't have, my balance is off. The crystals in my ears are loose. And I'm like, I didn't know I had crystals in my ear. I'm glad I didn't know I had crystals in my ear when I was getting high. I would have tried to find a way to pawn those crystals. I'll be coming up to you talking about, do you still have your crystals? Well, let's take your crystals out. But what that did for me, that near-death experience, it told me clearly that my life was spared for a purpose. How many people just die from random bullets? It was just random. The police said it came from down the block and it came behind three houses, and because I had added on to my house, it came through my bedroom, hit my pillow. So now, you know, I always thought, with the help of my sponsor, I had gotten a life of purpose, right? But what purpose was I living? My purpose really was to live a life where I could go when I want, spend what I want, buy what I want, eat what I want. Do you hear me say everything I? It was all about me. I thought you knew. It was all about me. But there was something, you know, I knew that God had me. He cleaned me up for more than me. But that night, when that happened, my whole life changed. Love. We're talking about love and the fellowship. It says unity is a practice of love. So I ask you, as narcotics, members of Narcotics Anonymous, how unified are you in the fellowship? How unified are you with your home group members? Or do you have home group members that you give shade? Nobody. Don't nobody throw shade. Damn, y'all, no wonder y'all could stay up this late. It says we rise above our judgments and come together no matter what. We come together no matter what. And I'm not standing here like claiming to be a saint, but I work diligently and with purpose to not be judgmental. It's hard work. It's hard work, right? To see an addict practicing behaviors that I don't think are within my, did you hear, my values and my morals. But I don't get to tell you what your values and morals are. You get to do what you do, you, whatever that looks like in the moment. Everybody's at a different stage, at a different place in the recovery process. I learned through sponsorship that everybody is not going to be at the same place at the same time. I used to force feed my sponsees. You know, a sponsee, they ain't work step one, but you gonna eat the meat and potatoes, motherfucker. We got a banquet table in Narcotics Anonymous. You got an appointed seat at the table, and you hanging around eating crumbs with the intent to recover. I was hard on my sponsees, and I learned to let up. Let everybody recover at their own pace. You a Burger King baby, you do it your way. Yeah, do it your way. And when your way don't work for you anymore, I'll be visible and available. So we're talking about love. We're talking about love. We're talking about love. It says love is an action word. Listen, you know, we hug each other and we say, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then you walk over and they say, that dirty bitch. She's sleeping with so-and-so's husband. Or he's sleeping with so-and-so's wife. That ain't none of your business. Get you some business. If I'm watching what you're doing and I'm judging what you're doing, guess what's happening to me? Ain't nobody, we don't have no watchman at the wall. And recovery demands what? Vigilance. Not vigilant to other people's recovery. I have to be vigilant to my own. I have to be constantly doing a self-appraisal on Cecilia. And even with me doing that, I can't grade my own homework because we are experts at self-deception. So if I grade, I do a self-appraisal, I'm gonna give myself an A+. Now, if I ask a member, what do you think about my recovery process? They might say, you know, do you really want me to tell you the truth? Can you stand the truth if I tell you? So it's important that I ask the people that are around me, how is my recovery? Is there anything you see that I could possibly do to improve my recovery process? Do I do that? Let me tell you what recently happened, because I'm adverse to crowds. I don't like crowds. I called the travel agency this morning, and I asked them, if I change my flight to leave tomorrow, how much will it cost me? Because I would pay it, because I didn't want to deal with a crowd. And they said, it's not going to cost you anything. The price is the same. Do you want us to change it? I said, well, I need to talk to somebody about it. And guess who that was? My sponsor. With 28 years clean, I don't make any major decisions without talking to my sponsor. So we over at the courtyard, we eating, we cutting up, we having a good time with Charlie C. Terrence is number one, and My sponsor, we having a good time. I said, sponsor, guess what? You know how like you try to slide shit in when your parents are tired at night? I try to slide it in. I called the travel agency and I asked them to leave tomorrow and they said it won't cost me nothing. What do you think? He said, well that's some antisocial shit. Because my sponsor don't chew no bones. He said, how you gonna come to a world convention and wanna leave before it's over? And my response was, okay. So now I know my ass is here until Sunday. because I know how to follow directions. It's critical to follow directions in Narcotics Anonymous, even with clean time. Now, I know that the people who are here, you guys are here, you're up, it's late, and I don't think anybody here is getting high, so I don't have to give you a drug log. I don't have to tell you what happened and how I got here. You guys heard it. Everybody has a story, right? So I'm just like talking to the member with time. I'm talking to the member who is not high tonight. Are you living out of your authentic self, or are you still living out of the representative? Are you still living out of the representative? When you look in the mirror, do you see who you really are, or you see who you think other people think you are? You know, I used to think y'all were like short bus retarded when I got here. Because y'all said, tell yourself. And somebody say, self? Just for today, my heart be beyond my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Tell yourself, self. I was like, God damn, I done landed on the short bus. So I'm asking you to tell yourself, are you living out? You know, my sponsor asked this question. He said, do you want to be happy? Or do you want to be free? Most addicts want to be happy. And happy don't always be really happy. Like you see the NA couple with the matching outfits on and shit. I just think that's kind of special. I ain't mad at you going and match. I think it's special. And everybody looks, and they're like, ooh, they in love. You don't know what's happening up in the hotel room. So happy don't always be happy. So I'm asking you, do you want to be happy or do you want to be free? The symbol talks about being fully whole and wholly free. That means that I'm living as the person that I'm projecting that I am. So I'm okay telling you guys that I am adverse to crowds. I just started being friendly with 28 years clean. I just got friendly like 6 months ago. I'm just saying. I would come at a convention, I'd share, and then I'd go up to my room and I won't come out until it's time to go home. Because I ain't want to be friendly. And the first time I was friendly was at the last convention, the Baltimore convention. I was able to go, and the people that I met, I still keep in touch. We talk to each other. We text each other. I'm like learning to build relationships with people because part of my disease of addiction is to be antisocial. That's how my disease manifests itself. I'm comfortable in my own space, and what could look like I'm just spending time with myself could possibly be isolation. Because the disease is very cunning, baffling, and powerful. So if I gotta get in the center of the herd. I gotta get in the center of the herd. And tonight, the people who are here, you are my herd. So what would it look like if I come here and you take the time out of your day, time which you can never replace, and I share, and then I leave, and I don't even say hello? That's some shiesty shit. But that's who I am. That is my current condition. And I'm telling you guys, it takes everything out of me to be not that person, because I'm comfortable being that person. I'm comfortable doing Cecilia. I'm comfortable being by myself. There's no fucking, there's no conflict. Ain't nobody arguing. Because who gonna argue with me if I'm by myself? Me? No, then I become certifiable. So there's peace in the house. There's, you know, there's calmness. There's a lot of USA going around, candles lit and shit. And I'm comfortable. But it's in the interaction, the love of the program is in the fellowship. So if I'm not involved in the fellowship, I've shortchanged my recovery. And as an addict, with time, our clean time can become our handicap. Because I don't want to tell you, because one of the 11 thugs, embarrassment, will take my voice. And I wouldn't want to stand and tell you that I'm not comfortable with crowds. With 28 years in the program, I would still want to walk the halls, smile, and keep fucking going. Just for the day, I'm going to try to do something different. Because that's what recovery is. Right. Recovery is about change. And let me tell you something. You don't stop changing because you got some clean time. As a matter of fact, if you have some clean time, the disease will tax you. My sponsor calls it addiction's revenge. It will show up and say, okay, you good sharing motherfucker. Let's come up with a good idea. Let's go spend some money you ain't got to impress some people that don't like you or don't know you. Or let's go down and make a corner and get a trick and turn a trick and not be a trick, whatever it is, and then come back to the meeting as if ain't nothing happened. Let's go sneaking and creeping. I'm talking about with clean time. The disease is not, clean time does not exempt us from the disease of addiction. So just for the day, I'm an addict. My name is Cecilia. The love of Narcotics Anonymous has allowed me to get 28 years clean. And I didn't get to share about being pregnant and using during my pregnancy. My time is up. But that child that I used for my entire pregnancy just picked up a year clean. Right? And he has a home group and he has a sponsor. And he's like, Mama, I gotta get through with this second step because somebody asking me to sponsor them. And I was like, oh shit. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm really grateful that you guys love the fellowship enough to show up at 11 o'clock at night to hear an addict carry a message. My message is simple. Narcotics Anonymous works. But it only works if you work it. And just for the day, I'm a step working, recovering. I'm committed to this process. I'm committed to sponsorship. I'm committed to being sponsored. I'm committed, I don't care where and when NA asks me to show up, I show up. I don't show up for the masses. I show up and I share for one person. If one person, one, understood and could relate and could see that there's hope and maybe I need to change that behavior. I can do something different. If one person got that message, then I fulfilled what God has asked me to do. Thank you for letting me share.